In the interest of full disclosure, I got to my office this morning about 6:30. I pulled up my sermon notes, and I've been teaching now, I've been pastoring now since I was 22 years old. I'm 48 years old, so 26 years. And I don't know that I have probably ever done what I did this morning. I was reading over my notes, and I'm not that kooky guy that feels like God lays something on their heart and it speaks to them in this weird way. But as I was looking over my notes, I knew clear as day that was not the message that I was supposed to teach today. I got to the very last verse that I had in my notes, and I was thinking about that particular story because where I had started in one part of the story, I had jumped ahead to another part of the story. And so I just flipped my Bible over, and I began to read that portion of Scripture, and I just began to write down some things on a piece of paper. And so I wrote this sermon today in about 10 minutes. So if it doesn't make sense today, take that up with God. If I ramble a lot today, first time guest, you can blame it on the fact that you think I'm rambling, but I just preach for about an hour every week. That's what we do around here. I didn't come to church last week. We were at the beach, so now I haven't taught in 2 weeks. So I feel like I got about a good hour and 45-minute message in me, and we're going to have fun today. We're going to talk about a subject today that I think the church has avoided talking about. I think it's one of those subjects that the church thinks if they talk about, it somehow diminishes the power of God in people's lives. Nothing can be further from the truth. We live in a society of extremes. So the problem is you very rarely get a balanced approach to something. I am not okay, but it's all going to be all right. That is a powerful song. We live in a day and time where I think more than ever people have got in touch or in tune with the fact that they're not okay. There was a long time where in our society it was not okay to not be okay. You had to suffer silently. You had to suffer alone. And there's various different things that we struggle with. And I don't even know what to call these because I don't want to minimize them. We can call it baggage. We can call it issues. We can call it problems. But I'm talking about those mental struggles that we have in life. Those emotional struggles that we have in life. For far too long, we never talked about it, but the reality is depression does exist. Anxiety does exist. Insecurity exists. Fear exists. Anguish exists. I like to call it getting into a funk exists. But like I said, we go to extremes in our society. We live in a day and time where prescription medication is at an all-time high. If you remotely have an issue, you think you have an issue. If you have a bad day, the doctor's answer today is to prescribe a pill for that. Now, I want to make it very clear, I am not a doctor. I don't play one on television. I am not minimizing doctors' wisdom in prescription medicine. But I am saying that I do believe for it to be our first option, something is severely wrong. We think we can medicate ourselves out of feeling a certain way. We think we can alter our chemistry out of feeling a certain way. Now, there's the other extreme, and this seems to be the extreme the church has taken, that they just don't exist. That if you're going through a funk, if you're going through a rough time, if you're dealing with some things, and here's the worst thing about the funk, because that's a hard, when you cuss as much as I do, using the word funk is dangerous. I wouldn't normally worry about it. Christine was like, hey, there's going to be a lot of new people here today because of baptisms. Don't cuss. Which I feel like just pre-notes something in my head that I'm supposed to cuss. So if I say something that's not funk, just roll with it, ignore it, and know that I meant funk. I'm married to a Detroit girl. She cusses a lot. If you want to hang with her, you got to cuss a lot. That's just how life goes. It's her fault. That's marriage 101 right there. It's always the woman's fault. Welcome to Action Church. I might be dealing with depression later. The church's answer is those to ignore it. That if you're struggling with something, it must have a reflection of your walk with God. God didn't create you to go through hard times. God didn't create you to go through bad times. Man, just power through it. And then we wonder why we have such an imbalance and we have such a misconception and why we have so many screwed up people when it comes to the issues they're dealing with. Because one side says, man, medicate. The other side says, just ignore it. I even heard a preacher get up and say, man, you never see anything like that in the Bible. Then obviously he's never read his Bible. I think for so long we manipulated the Bible to say what we wanted to say instead of just taking the Bible at its face value. Here's the reality. Funks happen. You're going to go through times. You're going to go through times and, man, be real careful when you say amen right here. You're going to go through times sometimes and not even know why you went through them. Your wife is going to wake up one morning and you can feel it. You can just tell. And what we like to do is we like to blame it on that once a month thing. The problem is when it comes more than once a month, we can't blame it on that. And then for so long, men never wanted to acknowledge they have funks. I used to say, but I don't get into funks. I get tired. Then Christine started up, oh, you one of those funks you don't get? Yeah. And then the problem becomes when it's your spouse, the other spouse. And I don't know why we do this, because we know it doesn't work. We try to fix the funk. You can't fix the funk. Only the person going through the funk can deal with the things to get themselves out of the funk. And make no mistake about it today, and this is where some of you are going to disagree, and especially those online who have a certain mindset that want to enable everything, that want to wallow in their self-pity, that want to live life feeling sorry for themselves, are going to struggle. I want you to understand something today. You can take steps to get out of your funk. It's not easy. You got to put the work in. You've got to be very conscious of it. And also you need to understand something. Just because you get past this funk doesn't mean there's not another funk around the corner. Funk happens. You can't go over the funk. You can't go under the funk. You can't go around the funk. All you can do is go through the funk and learn how to deal with the funk. And here's the crazy thing about the funk, especially in my life. The funk never comes when it makes sense for it to come. The funk comes when life is good. When I'm coming off a great victory. When I'm rocking and rolling. When things should be better than they've ever been. Suddenly I wake up or suddenly something triggers me and I'm just in one of those moods. And I used to live by the mindset that when I was in that mood, everybody in the house had to adapt to me. I can remember Christine telling the kids, just give him his space. He's in one of his moods. How selfish is that? How selfish that I'm going to allow my wound to bleed on others. But we do that all the time because we don't have the testicular fortitude. That's nuts for those of you from Pickens County. To want to man up and deal with our struggles. It's okay not to be okay. It's not okay to stay there. Now, I'm not telling you that when you're in that place of not being okay that you're going to get out of it in a day. Sometimes you'll get out of it in a day. Sometimes it might take a week. But you've got to be putting the steps in to get out. There's a great story in the Old Testament about a cat named Elijah. Now, Elijah was a prophet. He was a bad dude. You've heard me preach on Elijah before. And if there was anybody who struggled with different issues in this area, it was Elijah. You've heard me preach a message called Dip Happens and talking about dealing with the dips in life. When Elijah went and he told the king that there was going to be a famine in the land. And then because there was a famine in the land, Elijah had nothing to eat, but God provided for him. And then God was providing water and food for him. And then it dried up and Elijah was in the dip, but God told him how to get out of it. That actually was what I was going to preach today. I was going to be lazy today. I was at the beach all week. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go redo that message. I'm going to twist it around. But God wouldn't let me. We're going to actually jump ahead two chapters. See, after Elijah got out of that dip, Elijah went on to his greatest victory. He went on in the prophet of Baal. He defeated the prophet of Baal. He began to mock the ruler and said, hey, if my God is God and your gods are your gods, let's do this. Let's stack up a big piece of wood. Let's call down our gods and ask them to set it on fire. And the prophets of Baal tried this and they tried this and they tried this. This is the quick version of it. They cut their skin. They threw blood on there and nothing happened. And Elijah, I like Elijah because Elijah begins to mock them. I use Elijah as justification for my jerkish ways. He literally looks at him and says, hey, where's your God? 1 Kings 18. Maybe he's sitting on the toilet. That's what he says. Maybe he's going to the bathroom and can't shoot fire down right. He's mocking him. Then it became Elijah's turn. Elijah takes the big pile of wood. He douses it with water over and over and over, soaks it. He calls down to God, and God shoots down the fire, burns up all the prophets of Baal and all the wood. The great victory. God has proven to Israel that his God is the God, that he serves the living God. You would think at this moment in life he would be riding high on life. I call that great feeling. Those of you that know me, I own my own businesses. I put on big events for a living. And when I put on an event and it goes great and everything's dang and there's thousands of people there, I get to ride that high after. I can't even sleep at night. There's just that high of knowing you accomplished what you were doing. And I imagine Elijah's feeling that way. And at a time when he should be more bold than ever, maybe a little more cocky than ever, maybe a little more confident than ever, he goes into a deep state of depression that actually leads to suicidal thoughts. That's what's amazing to me about when preachers say there's nobody in the Bible who dealt with those issues. Look what it says. Now Ahab was the ruler, told Jezebel was his wife, everything Elijah had done. What had he done? He had rained down the fire and burned up all the prophets of Baal. When Ahab told Jezebel everything and had Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. I like it that Ahab didn't have the guts to do it. When men don't want to lead, it will always go astray. Read into that what you want to read into it. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah's riding high. Everybody in the land's talking about him. He's just come off a huge victory. And now Jezebel sends a messenger to him and says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to ruin you. I'm going to destroy you. If you're not like the prophets of Baal, what were the prophets of Baal like? They were burned up. By this time tomorrow, may God deal with me severely. I don't know about you. I like to think if I was Elijah in this moment, I'd have my chest out a little bit more and I'd be a little more cocky and say, bring it. I just saw God move in a miraculous way. I just saw God move in a magnificent way. I just saw God move in an amazing way. Did you not just see what my God did? And now you want to threaten me? Don't sing it, bring it. But he doesn't. He doesn't. He goes from the high to the low immediately. The Bible says in verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. Just like that, the funk hit. He went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. He went from being the big man throughout the country who had made his God known to a man who is now running from a woman. And I've seen some women you should run from. I ain't minimizing womanhood there. There's some women in this church that I would run from. There's some women in this church that scare me. I'm married to one of them. I try to keep her happy. I try to make her laugh. I got to realize, see, when you're ugly, you got to know you got to make your wife laugh. So I try to make her laugh all the time. But every once in a while, I'll see the look in the eyes, and I know it's not good. I know that I'm about to have to run for my life. I have to be afraid. It's crazy how quickly we can go from here to here. We can't explain why it happens. We don't understand why it happens. But not only was he afraid and ran for his life, it even gets deeper because it begins to mount up in his life. Look what the Bible says in the next verse. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. It's important. It's important. I'm going to show you the keys to a funk. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. The Bible says in verse 5 that he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. Big, bad Elijah. A man's man. There was nothing cowardly about Elijah in any facet. When he had to stand up, he stood up. When he had to be bold, he was bold. He was not afraid of the enemy. He believed in the living God. He did what God told him to do. And now he's in the funk so bad that he'd rather die than live. I got to be honest with you. I've been through some funks in my life, but I've never dealt with that. I know a lot of people that have. I'm not minimizing it. I just particularly have never dealt with the point where I didn't want to live anymore. But people deal with it every day. But I've gotten to the point in my life where I didn't want to get out of bed in the morning. I've gotten to the point in my life where I didn't want to be around other people. I've got to the point in my life where I've been so low that I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to walk away from everything. Christine and I went through a stage years ago. We're like, I just want to go away by myself. I don't want to be around anybody. And I was willing to walk away. I wasn't willing to that, but I was having the thoughts of, hey, I'm going to walk away from my wife and my kids. She said, you're just going to walk away from us? And I wasn't, but that's where my mind was. I didn't want to deal with what I had perceived as my reality. We all go through the funk. Funk happens. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and tell you something here. It doesn't matter how close you are to God. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter what a good little Christian you are. You're going to deal with the funk. Because ain't none of you Elijah. Ain't none of you called fire down and defeated the entire prophets of Baal and made God known throughout the region. Elijah's problem was not that he had a bad walk with God. The problem was is the funk is not a respecter of persons. The funk doesn't care how much money you have in your bank. The funk doesn't care how big your house is. The funk doesn't care what a good dad you are. The funk doesn't care how long you've been going to counseling and getting healthy. Funk happens, and there's nothing you can do about it except deal with it. Now, there's some things that lead up to it. Life is difficult. Life is stressful. It doesn't make you special that you go through hard times. It just makes you living. Everybody thinks, man, if I just was like this person and I had that kind of money, I wouldn't be going through. Let me tell you about what more money is. It's simply another zero. They have the same problems you have. They're just bigger problems. Money doesn't bring you happiness. Oh, by the way, being broke don't bring you happiness either, so there's nothing wrong with money. Funk happens. You can see it laid out right here. You can see how to get in a funk in four easy steps. In four easy steps, Elijah does it. The first thing, you got to wear yourself out. Elijah was toast. If you go back and you read the previous chapters, you will see that Elijah had been on the go for a long time. He'd been carrying out the will of God for a long time. He had been doing what God had told him to do for a long time. He had been living his calling and living his purpose, but the problem is when he was doing that, he wasn't resting. Have you ever noticed the funk happens when you're tired? The funk happens when you don't know how to slow down. When your body is telling you to take a break and you refuse to take a break. I think one of the most arrogant things that we as humans do is thinking we don't need a break. Even God took a break on the seventh day. And you don't think you need a break? You don't think you need to slow down? Sometimes you just got to shut off the phone. Sometimes you, oh, this one's hard for me. It makes me twitch. Sometimes you got to get off social media. Sometimes you got to get away from everybody and just go have some time for yourself. There's times in my marriage that Christine will come to me, she's like, it's time for you to go away for a day. It sounds funny, but she's saying it in a loving way. She knows that my entire life is people. I'm surrounded by people all the time because of the career I've chosen, and I put on events. I put on about 40 events a year. It's like I have 40 different companies. Each event's its own company. And she knows I'm going, going, going. And she can tell when I get to the point where I'm near one of my funks. And she'll say, hey, why don't you go up to LJ for the day? Why don't you, for me, it's just going away, going out in the woods. I go sit at a cabin. I go sit by running water. I unplug. I think early on when I started doing that, she took it as I needed a break from her. Now she realizes she needed a break from me, so for me to go. I'm getting her to realize the power of this. It's one of the things that I have harped and harped. My wife does not stop. And I tell her, you need to go away for the day. I don't have time to go away for the day. I say, you need to go away for the day. And she's in the last year, year and a half, begin to embrace that in her life. And every time she does it, she'll come back. I'm telling you, if you don't unplug and rest, when you're tired is when the enemy attacks. The Bible says our enemy is like a roaring lion. He walks, don't miss this, don't miss this, don't miss this. He walks about seeking whom he can devour. He can't devour everyone. He's looking for those he can devour. He's looking for those that are physically tired. Those that are emotionally tired, those that are mentally tired. And when you begin to get into that tire, it's when you begin to let your guard down and you let your grip down, and that's when the enemy can come along and attack. You think staying busy is helping you not deal with the reality. No, no, no. Being busy is helping you not deal with the reality. You can stay busy as long as you want to stay, but eventually, I'm telling you, listen to what I'm, you will crash. And the funk will be 10 times worse than it would ever have been had you taken care of yourself in that way. Not resting, not slowing down, simply is arrogance. There's no way around it. You think you're better than God. He rested every 7 days. He told us to rest. Unplug. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. You know, another step to get into that funk is, man, you shut people off. Look what it says up here. He went to Judah and he left his servant there. When you begin to go through those times of being tired and those hard times, we want to isolate ourselves. There's nothing that is bigger punishment to yourself than isolating yourself. You know what they do to prisoners in prison that act up? Isolation. They know it's the greatest form of punishment to disconnect themselves from other humans. We were not made to do this life alone. And I've never understood why when we begin to get into a funk or we begin to go through hard times or we begin to go through times that are rough, our marriage takes a hit, our finances are taking a hit, we're not feeling fulfilled, we don't have a purpose, our kids are driving us crazy. Man, life is just kicking our ass and all we want to do is step back and isolate from everyone. And what happens is when you isolate for everyone, you allow that lion to devour you because you have nobody else around you. Now, the opposite of that is some of you need to quit telling your business to everybody. Some of y'all, man, y'all get in the funk and it's flapping that jaw and then you wonder why. You have marriage problems. You begin to tell everybody about your marriage problems. Then you and your spouse work it out, and you wonder why none of your friends like your spouse. Well, all you did was run them down the whole time you were fighting. Y'all don't want that truth. You need to have two or three people, though, that are around you no matter what. I'm not saying you got to be with them 24-7 because I just told you, man, you got to go off and rest sometimes. But you got to get yourself to a place. The greatest tool the enemy has is to make you feel disconnected. The Bible says we were not created to do life alone. The Bible says in Genesis that he created the heavens and he created the earth and he created the animals and he created the land. Then he created man. And man was the only thing that he created. He looked at and said it wasn't good for man to be alone. Created a helpmate for him. You were not made to do life alone. You've heard me use this stupid cliche forever. Even the Lone Ranger, his freaking name was the Lone Ranger. His freaking name implied that he did life alone. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. When you begin to go through hard times, you better have some people you can reach out to. I have learned the importance of picking up the phone and making a phone call. Oh, by the way, once you're in the funk, it's too late. You got to learn to be in the, identify the funk as it's coming. I can feel the funk coming days in advance. I don't sleep. My fuse gets short. My jaw begins to get tight. I get an anxiety in my chest. I can feel it coming. And I've learned now to identify that. And you can identify it coming in your life too if you step back and begin to evaluate. It's during those times you better not separate from other people. What a great tool of the enemy. I don't want to put my burdens on anybody else. Ain't it funny how you don't care when your friends put their burdens on you? That's why they're your friends. If they're only your friends when things are going good, many of you know my story. I lost everything when I was 33 years old. I literally became homeless. I started and I pastored the largest church in this city at that time. And I went from thousands of people around me every week to listen to me what I'm about to tell you. Literally no one around me. It made me realize that I had a lot of fans and zero friends. You better have some friends. You better have some people you can pick up the phone and call, and they will love you through your mess, love you through the muck, love you through the mire. I didn't say approve of your mess. I didn't say affirm you and blow smoke up your butt. But they'll be there for you. Here's what you need to know, bam, bam, bam. But I need you to know no matter what you choose, man, I'm rolling with you. I'm there for you. In the fire world, in the fireman world, it's called fireman accountability. See, the church has got accountability wrong. We think accountability is finding someone that we go to and we tell all our problems and they tell us what we should and shouldn't do. That's not accountability. Firemen, when they go into a building, they're taught and they're trained, they get a partner. Both of you are going into the building together. Me and Kylie, Kylie used to be a fireman, me and Kylie go into the fire together. I don't mess up, so it would be Kylie messing up. So if Kylie messes up when we're in the building, he does something stupid in the building, I don't leave Kylie in the building. No matter if it's his fault, No matter if he knew he shouldn't have done what he did in that fire and it put us in a dangerous position, I don't leave that building without Kylie. That's the kind of accountability you need in your life. You need some people in your life that are going to walk through the fire with you. But the devil loves to come along and say, man, wear yourself out. The devil loves to come along and say, hey, shut people out. You know, the next thing we do when we're in a funk is we begin to focus on the negative. We focus on the negative. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Let me just wallow in my crap. Let me just feel sorry for myself. Here's the funny thing. Most of the stuff we're wallowing in the consequences of our own actions. You don't want to hear that. Every time that I have been in a position where my world is falling apart and everything is crashing down around me and I can realize the consequences, if I'm able to step back, breathe, and look at the consequences are my actions. When you do wrong things, bad things happen. Don't act surprised. And here's what's so freaking funny about it. We'll get mad at God about it. I told you, I got a buddy of mine who has 3 DUIs. He lost his license. He got mad at God and never went to church again. Can't believe God would do that to me. You stupid idiot. You got 3 DUIs. That's not God's fault. It's your fault. It's a consequence of your stupidity. We wallow in it. We feel sorry for ourselves. My business deal didn't go the way I thought it ought to go. Oh, my goodness. But my kids, my relationship with my kids is, oh, my goodness. Man, I didn't get invited to this. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my friend didn't do this. Oh, my goodness. Man, why can't I have my life just be more like so-and-so's life? Every time I get on Facebook, I see everybody living their best life, even though they're only posting the highlights, and most of those are made up. Golly. You can't even post a picture nowadays that looks like the real you. That's how fake we are. I told y'all one of the first times I ever went to church, gave my life to Christ, and I was pretty hell on wheels, and the preacher took me under his wing, and like 2 weeks later, he was going to preach a revival. It was an old school Baptist church, and he took me to the revival, and he's up there preaching. This little man, he was a little Cherokee Indian guy, and you've heard me tell the whole story. You go, fry like bacon, you've heard the whole story. But man, he would preach, and he would just, man, this joker would preach against everything that moved. This is only 20 years ago. I never forget, he would preach against rock and roll music. So you can't listen to that rock and roll music. I'll never forget what he said. 20 years ago, that's a lie. God, I'm old. 28 years ago, almost 30 years ago. I'm old, I feel it. I'm really only 25, but pastoring y'all makes me look like this. But I remember 25 years. So 25 years ago would have been the 90s, right? Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots, alternative music. Okay. I'll never forget. You listen to that rock and roll music, getting up there dancing to the Temptations. He was still preaching to get like, he was that old school. And every time he'd say something, man, there was this old man in the front row. I'm talking about old man. Had to be in his 80s, had these bottle glasses. And he'd stand up and say, stand close, preacher. I took that to mean he was in agreeance with what the preacher was saying. Some of you been out drinking and partying all night. And that old man jumped. He said, stand close, preacher. He said, some of you women out there, because, man, in this church, women couldn't wear pants. And some of you women out there running around in blue jeans looking like a man. This old man be like, stand close, preacher. And then I never forget, my pastor got up there and he said, and some of you last night were out whoring around with women that weren't your wife. That old man stood up and said, you're standing too close, preacher. You're standing too close. I didn't. Some of y'all think I'm standing too close when it comes to them filter pictures on Facebook. That's what happens when I ain't got no notes. You want to get into a funk? Wear yourself out. Shut people out. Begin to focus on the negative. Can I go ahead and educate you on something? We have good lives. There ain't a person in this room that ain't blessed. We live in the greatest country in the world. We're so spoiled. We're over 35% of the world doesn't have clean drinking water. We go to the store and buy ours in bottles and then leave them half full all over the house. We're so blessed that we have houses for our cars called garages. Our dogs have houses. Man, we are blessed. There ain't a person here today that if you wanted it, didn't have food this morning. And yet we'll focus on how negative our life is. Man, the devil loves that. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. You want to know why your life is miserable and why you stay in the funk all the time? Because you allow your mind to take you there. Well, I don't know how to flip it around. I'm going to show you. I'm going to get to it. I told you we're going an hour and 45 today, baby. Oh, by the way, we're going to go so long today that if you are getting baptized today, when I start praying at the end of the service, you go out to the lobby. My wife's going to meet you out there. And she'll get you ready for baptism because we're going to dunk you quick. Because I'm going to preach so long that I'm going to be hungry at the end. You know, the last thing we do is we forget God. Ain't it funny that when life is good, we remember God? When life's bad, we blame God. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. He laid down on the tree and he fell asleep. Funk happens. You can't avoid the funk. But I can tell you there's some things that can premeditate the funk. You draw when you go, when you go, when you go. See, I've learned that busyness, and we say this, I like to stay busy, but I don't got to think about it. Eventually, you're going to have to think about it. Back that up. If you don't think about it, eventually you're going to deal with it when it explodes in your face. So you stay busy. You deal with the tyranny of the urgent. You never deal with your issues. You will come crashing down. There's not a one of you here today that are invincible. There's not a one of you here today that are Superman. You'll be hard-pressed to find someone who loves to go as much as I go. Man, when I have an event, all week people are like, how do you preach on Sunday? I said, well, I got no choice. That's what I do. 20-hour days on Saturdays, 16 hours on the Friday. I'm not saying, I can go. It's funny, everybody says, I've never seen Gary do any work. I'm going to go ahead and hurt some of your feelings. Most of you couldn't hang with me on a festival day. And even I get wore out. I have had to learn to make time to rejuvenate myself. We love to make fun of me around here. I love a bubble bath. I love a bubble bath. You know why I like it? Because, man, it's just my time dress. I'm not a napper. I go in there. No one bothers me. If they do come in there, it's normally my wife, and the only reason she's in the bathroom is to change her clothes, and now I'm in the bath, and I get to see her naked. It's a win-win. Like, there's logic to it all. We wear ourselves out. We shut people out. We focus on the negative, and we forget God. It's a recipe for the funk. So the question becomes, when you get to the point like Elijah and you no longer even want to live, and I don't even want to ask for a show of hands today because I think it would blow your mind how many people in here at least once in life have had suicidal thoughts. I've had people that I'm close to that I thought were some, and this doesn't make them weak, so let me make that clear, but my perception of what made them the strongest person in the world have told me, yeah, there's a time in my life that I had those thoughts. I'm like, what? The most physically physically, let me clarify that. The physically, the most strongest human being I personally know. The guy that if you told me, man, you got to go have bring somebody to fight this person because your life depends on it. That person in my life will share the story of tying a rope around his neck and trying to hang himself one day. It ain't got anything to do with being weak. I'm saying we've all been there. A lot of us have been there. We don't want to deal with the reality. We seek a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Because there ain't no coming back from death, baby. Biggest fear I have is dealing with one, getting a phone call with one of you like that. So today we're going to talk about how do we do it. I'm not okay, but it's all going to be all right. You know the reason that song connected with so many people? It's because we all know that we're not okay. I actually struggled with that song when it first came out, didn't I? First song first came out, I'm a huge Jelly Roll fan, probably the greatest concert I've ever been to in my life, probably the greatest church service I've ever been in my life was when Christine took me to see Jelly Roll. It was amazing. But when that song came out and it was just the chorus, I said, man, I don't like this new song. I said, it's like we just want to wallow in not being okay. And I struggled with it. Until I went through a period of not being okay. It was minuscule during that time, but I went through a little funk during that time. And I remember flipping through and hearing that song and being like, man, I'm not okay right now. And that's okay. It's all going to be all right. I like how the end of that song talks about we're going to see God one day and it's all going to be okay. It's a powerful song. I didn't know the rest of the lyrics to that song at that time. All I knew was a little snippet on TikTok. But the question becomes, how do we deal with the funk happening? All right, I got plenty of time to preach these 20 points to you. I'm about to get real practical with you. I don't have some deep spiritual ideology for you today. Because let me tell you something, we don't serve a God like that. We serve a practical God. That's what's so amazing about this book. Preachers have complicated this book. The preachers all over the country, they want to impress the people in the pews with their knowledge instead of giving them something they can take home. Never mistake my simple preaching that I don't have knowledge. I've told you I don't mean this arrogantly. I have a doctorate degree in pastoral theology. I'll go toe-to-toe with you in theology all day long. Life change doesn't come from theology. That will become a soundbite that preachers use against me all over this county. I'm going to say it again. Life change doesn't come from theology. Life change comes from the practicality of the theology. The steps are right here. Elijah's under the tree. He's ready to die. He's asking God to die, and God does some things. The first thing we got to do when we're in the funk, God says to eat and rest. All at once, Bible says, Elijah laid down. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. I'm about to show you the relevance of that. He looked around. And there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate. I like the picture. It was a mason jar just for, you know, that's my God. He brought a mason jar. I serve a southern God. And I think that cake of bread was cornbread just for anybody questioning it. He ate and drank and then he laid down again. Hold on. I'm going to get to this. Because I'm going to show you why this is relevant. Next verse. Then the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. What's the first thing we do when we get into a funk? I can't even eat. I can't get out of bed. I haven't eaten in days. I've got a friend going through some marital problems. He's a pastor, just lost his church over it. And I talked to him, and he's like, man, I haven't eaten 8 days. Man, that's what the enemy wants you to do. See, here's the thing that we miss when it comes to funks. Oh, I'm treading. I want to be real careful here. When we're dealing with emotional things and mental things, not always, you're going to deal with them no matter what. But so much of the mental and emotional issues we deal with, the root of that is our physical issues. We don't take care of this body. Let me hurt some of your feelings. Don't point it out to them, but look to the person to the right to you. Look at the person to the left to you. Based on statistics in America, they're out of shape. They're overweight. Oh, and by the way, I ain't preaching at you, baby. I'm preaching with you. They don't take care of themselves. They pump their body, no other word, they pump their body full of toxic shit and wonder why they struggle mentally and emotionally. The carcass that is carrying your body, we neglect, especially in America. We don't take care of ourselves. Fried foods, alcohol, sweets, processed foods. It's funny. Christine and I hired a dietitian November. We've been eating this food. Good food. It's food. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you it's great. It's not Oreo cookies. But it's amazing how when I eat right, it changes every aspect of my life. I sleep better. My outlook is better. I get up full of energy. I'm more positive. So we go to the beach this last week. Christine gets up and she goes and walks on the beach. And I remembered a donut place that we passed on the way into town. I made a mistake and got on their Instagram page. They were the most amazing looking donuts I had ever seen in my life. They weren't just regular donuts. They were like the crumble cookies of donuts. I go there. The minute they open, and I'm 30th in line. Christian's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting to get donuts. I came back with donuts. I justified that I was only going to eat a bite of every donut. So I peel off a little piece and eat it, and all of a sudden, half dozen donuts were gone. I had not put that type of food in my body in months. We're out in the ocean. Christine's like, what's wrong with you? I said, what do you mean? She said, why are you moaning? I said, I don't know. Am I moaning? She said, you sound, we have an English board off, she goes, you sound like Tank. She goes, why is your face all pale? Are you about to throw up? I said, I don't think so. Now, what I did, because I'm a man and I'm never going to admit she's right, I blamed it on the heat. We keep it real around here, baby. The bathroom would dictate otherwise. It was putting that garbage in my body. Afterwards, I looked at Christine and I said, man, I said, I used to eat right to lose weight, and I don't even care if I lose weight. I said, I just feel better when I take care of my body. It's amazing. But yet, when we get into a funk, we want to back up and not eat at all. The angel of the Lord came to Elijah. He said, get up and eat. Hydrate your body. You don't think the devil's smart? That's exactly the opposite of what we do when we're dealing with stuff. I haven't eaten days. I can't hold anything down. People that have gone through stuff with me and I've had to deal with, call with them, or I'm working with them, they'll always tell you, what's the first thing I tell them? Eat. I don't care if you can't keep food down. Go get a protein shake. Put something in your body. You need fuel for your body. You've got to take care of your body. Hell, I've made everybody else mad, so let me go ahead and make the rest of you mad. And don't equate skittiness with healthiness. Some of you are injecting yourself with shots. I understand there's a point in it. And so if you got diabetes, I understand. Some of you are doing it just to lose weight, and you don't understand why you look like death, and you're losing your hair, and you feel like crap. But, man, you're skinny. Some of it's just genetics. Some people are skinny. You just want to be skinny, go get some meth. Tell me how healthy you feel. Wish I could look like them. They're skinny. And the opposite of that is all these musclehead guys out there. That guy's healthy. There ain't nothing healthy. That guy couldn't run a quarter mile if his life depended on it. There ain't nothing original about him. Ain't nothing natural about him. So funny what we call health. Number two, God replaces our lies with his truth. You want to get through your funk? Let God replace the lies you're telling yourself with the truth of his word. There he went to a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. It's the only one left. You ever feel that way? I'm the only one trying to do right. I'm the only one trying to do good. I'm trying to take a stand, and now that nobody likes me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. I just aged myself right there. When you're in that funk, you got to get to a place where God speaks truth into your life. When your mind's telling you you're nothing, God tells you you're his child. When God's telling you that you'll never amount to anything, God says he called you out for a purpose. When you don't have two pennies to rub together, God tells you he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. When you're growing up and your children want nothing to do with you, you remind the promise that you train up a child in the ways to go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. People ask me, I have a daughter. I shared this story. My oldest daughter, I haven't talked to her in 3.5 years. She graduated high school, and suddenly I became the enemy. I text her every week, love you, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't respond. People all the time want to ask me about that for some reason. Most of y'all know her. She grew up in this church. Are you okay with that? I'm okay with it. Here's why. I know I didn't do anything. And I know the promise of God says I trained her up in the way she should go, and when she's old, she will not depart from it. There will come a day, I don't know when God restores that relationship. I can beat myself up and tell myself lies. I'm never going to see her again. I'm never going to talk to her again. Or I can claim the promises of God. I can buy the lies that when my marriage is bad, that we're never going to trust each other again. We're never going to be compatible again. We're never going to be able to get through the storm. Or I can believe that, man, what God has joined asunder, let no man put together, let no man put asunder. And he strengthens that. So it goes back to those negative thoughts. I'm never going to be loved. Shut up. I'm going to grow old alone. Shut up. Never going to have anything. Shut up. Quit wallowing in your crap and feeling sorry for yourself. There's a couple of you in this church, you know who you are. I intentionally avoid you. You know who you are. You've brought it up to me. And I will never apologize for intentionally ignoring you. Because you depress me. You wallow in your self-loathing. That's why you don't win at life. Not because you hit a funk, not because maybe you hit funks more than other people, but you wallow in your funks. You want to stay there. You want to feel sorry for yourself. You want to be a victim instead of a victor. And that is a decision that you make. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings today. I'm not trying to make you sad today. I'm not telling you you're not welcome here. You're welcome here. I hope eventually you learn how to be a victor instead of a victim. But you can't stay there. The devil loves when you stay there. The devil loves when you buy into the lies. And if you're first time here and you think this isn't very pastoral, let me know. That's the problem in our society, is we have a bunch of pastors who won't speak the truth to you. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm not here to blow smoke up your butt. If you want unicorns, fart, and bubbles, go watch Joel Osteen on TV, baby. I ain't him. Number three, God speaks in a still, small voice. When you're in that funk, shut up and listen for God. He will speak to you in ways you never thought was possible. It might be through a song. It might be through a TikTok where somebody plays Jelly Roll. I am not okay, but it's going to be all right. That's how God works. We limit God. I heard preachers always say, man, God speaks to us through the Bible, and God speaks us through worship, and he does. But God will speak to us through anything. He used a donkey in the Bible to speak. You got to sit back and listen. Look what it says. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. In the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When you're in a funk, the reason some of you can't get out of the funk is you're looking at some big revelation. You're craving some, you want God to write it on a neon sign. Tell me what to do. Speak to me through the earthquake. Speak to me through the fire. Speak to me through the wind. And he says, I'm just whispering what to do. I've put people around you who are telling you what to do. I've put songs in your life that tell you what to do. You notice how everywhere you turn, the same message is what you should do. You're just ignoring it. I want God to tell me what to do. God's not going to come to you in audible voice. He's going to come to you through his word. He's going to come to you through song. He's going to come to you through wise counsel. That's why we don't walk away from friends. And sometimes he's just going to come to you through logic. You're not stupid, so quit acting like you are. God, we got to be some of the dumbest people in the world. But the problem is we're not dumb. We've allowed society to dumb us down. You know why some of you can't hear the voice? Because you medicated yourself instead of dealing with your issues. You know why we can't hear that small voice? Because you don't even think you have an issue. I'm not going to say I have an issue. That makes me weak. Okay, tough guy. And last, I'm done. Here's how we get out of the funk. God gives us something to do. You know the greatest thing to get out of your funk? Start doing. Quit making it about you. Go serve somebody. Go do what God's called you to do. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. I like that, because he wasn't ever supposed to be there in the first place. Go back. I don't know how you ended up under this tree. Well, yeah, I do, because you let the funk happen. You ran away afraid. Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you go there, anoint Hazael king. Also anoint Jehu king. And anoint Elisha to succeed you as prophet. He said, I got a job for you. I got a mission for you. You don't got time to feel sorry for yourself. I need you to anoint these two people king. And by the way, I need you to go get Elisha and anoint him as the next prophet to take your place. You got a mission to do. You got a purpose to do. You can't be sitting under the tree feeling sorry for yourself. I ain't taking you home and killing you. I ain't done with you. You want to get out of your depression? You want to get out of your anxiety? You want to get out of your stuff? Start serving other people. Show up here on a Monday and tell Melissa you want to help at Bethesda Community Clinic and go see other people's problems. You'll see your problems ain't that big. Come up here when they're giving away food, and you'll see your problems aren't that big. Show up on a Sunday and serve and watch people who are coming through the doors of this church who wouldn't normally come through the doors of a church, and they come in and they're scared and they're timid, and you're the first smiling face they see, and you immediately take away that stress that they're feeling by welcoming the church and grab them a cup of coffee. When there's power in a cup of coffee, I've seen a 400-pound dude who's awkward as hell, and gets that cup of coffee, and it's like he can hide behind it. You see the shoulder sag, he gets relief. When you make life not about you, but you make it about serving others, you don't focus on your own issues, but you want to wallow in your issues. Here's the deal. Funk's going to happen. Nothing you can do about it. You can't avoid it. Oh, by the way, two previous chapters before, Elijah was in a dip before this. This is chapter 18 and verse chapter 16. He was in a dip, questioning God. That's called the ebb and flow of life. Me and Christine went through some stuff in the fall, and someone told me that they said, "Man, aren't you glad you aren't ever going to go through some stuff again?" I said, "Are you crazy? I'm 48. I plan on living to 108. I got 60 more years with her. We're going to go through some stuff. It ain't going to be the same stuff, but we're going to go through some stuff I ain't easy to live with." It's called the ebb and flow of life. Funk's going to happen. You can't avoid the funk. This isn't a magic formula for funk to go away. But it's a biblical formula on how to deal with it. You're in the funk? Eat. Take care of your body. Rest. Replace the lies with truth. Listen for the voice of God in your life. Quit listening. Oh, by the way, you can always find someone who will tell you what you want to hear. Ain't it funny if someone wants to leave their spouse and then they go to all their friends that have left their spouse? My friend said, "Well, of course they did. Won't you go to your friends that stuck it out with their spouse and now have a marriage that's better than ever?" Because that's not what you want to hear. Well, that's going to make you all mad today. Listen to that small voice. And then just get busy doing. And then here's what's going to happen. When God is done with you, God will be done with you. As they were walking along and talking together, this Elijah and Elisha, because he went to, remember he had to make Elisha the next prophet. Suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to the heavens in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. You say, why are you talking about Elijah dying? Here's why. Because if you're still breathing, God's not done with you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how rough life is. If you're here, God's not done with you. So why are you going to allow your life to be controlled by the funk? It's crippling. I know people that have been in a funk for decades. Why? You have this awesome effing gift called life. You got up today. Life is amazing. Even when it's not. You ain't coming back as a tree. You ain't coming back as a dog. There ain't no do-overs. This is your one shot. Why would you waste it living in a funk? I had a friend named Dave Clark. Y'all know Dave. He passed away about a year ago. Dave came to the very first service I ever held at a church in this town 20 years ago. He was a raging alcoholic. I watched him get sober. For years sober. I watched him serve other people and help other people. He built out this building, him and Doug. When I lost that church, he became my roommate, actually. When I started this church, he helped me start this church. His wife left him, and he got into a funk. And I watched that man spend the last 11 years of his life in a funk. He was a shell of what he used to be. I sat in his garage one day, because that was his thing. He'd go to work, come home, and sit in his garage and drink all day. So I sat in the garage with him. And I said, man, you got to snap out of it. You got to, I said, man, you got so much. I'll never forget. He said, I'm in my 50s. I'm too old to change. What? Me being the pastor I was, I said, then go kill yourself. I don't say that in a bragging way, but that's like, if that's your mindset, I don't want to do that. Why would you say that? He got super offended that I said that to him. And I said, but you're living dead right now. He never snapped out of it. Lived such a miserable life that he got cancer and told nobody he had cancer till he ended up in the hospital dying and he was dead. What a waste. You say, well, he died of cancer. He could have had the most exciting last 10 years of his life. He could have been around people that maybe he'd have caught the cancer earlier and been able to get it treated. But he lived in that funk and wasted life. And some of you are wasting life. And I'm just going to be honest. I get this isn't very pastor-like because I'm supposed to be loving and blah, blah, blah. It's pathetic. Like, you're sad that you would waste this gift that God's given you. But Gary, it doesn't matter what you've done. That's the great thing about God. He's not worried about your screw-ups and mess-ups. You keep remembering those. He's forgiven you of those. You're wasting life. You're in a marriage that's miserable. You think the answer is to get out of it, but you won't get out of it. Don't get out of it. Make that one work. Well, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. Nothing worth having. See, that's your problem. You're lazy. You don't want to work at anything. Hate your job. Get another job. It's not that easy. Might not be able to get it tomorrow. Start taking the steps to get it. You're lazy. And you wallow in your funk. I am not okay. But if you put in the steps, it's all going to be all right.